It's 4 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 6 o'clock in Chicago. And it's 7 p.m. in New York City. Hello, everybody. I'm Mad Dog Scipio. God help us. She's back. The return of the pit bull. Amelia, the pit bull Chapman. God help us all. We're all in trouble. How are you, Amelia? Do I even want to know?
I'm doing a little bit better every single day. Trying to get better anyway.
Oh, that means we're in trouble, aren't we? Oh, Jesus. So let me tell everybody, in case you've lived under a rock for the last 3 weeks, Amelia hasn't been here.
No.
And that's why it's been nice and quiet. Amelia the Pitbull Chapman, her daughter got married and she got sick at her daughter's wedding. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know it, she made everybody else sick in her house. Kind of like she makes us sick too, folks. Anyway, but look, you know what? Okay, so she's a little still under the weather, but I really needed her back on the show because she's been missing way too much time, you know. And I've been doing all this artwork myself, and it's a lot of work. It's very time consuming. I need her to do that shit because I need to take some of the load off me. I got enough on my plate. Jeez. So what have you been up to? Would you say you missed me?
Yeah, I've missed you too, and I've missed everybody. Oh. Well.
No, I missed you too, like Jokic.
Anyway, oh, thanks a lot. He's gonna make me cough.
Anyway, so the pit bull return. What have you been up to?
Just finally returning to work, and
how long were you out?
About a week and a half or so. Yeah,
a week and a half from work. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's like that's a long time, you know.
Yeah, and I did. And have
especially,
some time.
It's been a relatively new job for you.
Yeah, but I did have some time to.
You build up time, I'm sure. Yes.
But going to back to work, I was like jumping through hoops because I had to make sure I had a doctor's note, and then I had to answer some questions. Was it work-related? I hospitalized? Was it anything to do with why did I miss work? And I had to answer those questions.
I'll tell you what, and especially where you live, in Florida, mm-hmm. folks, if you live and work in Florida, don't get sick and then try to go to work. Because they don't play down there. They make you jump through hoops
to
go back to work.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And then when I went back to work, when I got the clearance, I still wasn't well enough to where I could still talk. I still have this robot.
Well, let me ask you a question. That's a good point you bring up. Let me ask you that. Let's go there. Were you allowed to work with patients right away?
No, I wore a mask. And of course, I would still, we have this reports that we do call patients if they haven't come to appointments or if they have to have appointments for
like paperwork. So you did like administrative stuff. Yeah. All right, well that's good.
Scans, things like that.
So they had you like keeping busy.
Yes, keep working the background because we had behind.
I'll tell you what though, that's a good job that you got because a lot of jobs would have said, you know what, stay home till you're better.
Mm-hmm.
But you got very lucky. You work for a company that, you know, that cares about you guys, yeah. It seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And, and they did good by you.
Oh, yeah. And you know? They also gave me a raise on top of that. So I was lucky.
Yeah, you got real lucky. You don't even know how lucky you got, for real.
Yeah, I have a wonderful boss, too. She's the best.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know what? Oh, hell of a lot better than that other.
Oh, my gosh.
Circus you used to work for.
Yeah. And you know that we have people apply for the job that I have. We still need two more people. And I had somebody apply there that used to work at the old job that I had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I got somebody in the chat room. Who's here? Hey, Moonchild.
Hey, Moonchild.
Moonchild's listening while she gets ready for work. Now, see, Moonchild works the night shift.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, is great because I used to work the night shift. I worked the night shift in radio,
yes,
in the casino business, in factory work, Asian 30 plus years ago, 40 years ago. And I've worked the night shift in, God help us, restaurants. That's a thankless, horrible job.
It is.
Working a restaurant job is the most thankless, horrible job. I love going to restaurants. My father owned restaurants. He worked in restaurants my whole life.
I tried.
But he knew that my heart was not in it, you know. Oh, she works at a group home. Wow, boy, that, you know what? God bless you, Moonchild. Because that is a thankless job. It really, really is. That is a thankless job because you know what? Even when you do everything right, everything, somebody's going to say something about one thing. You could do 1,000 things right. 1,000.
Right.
Do one thing wrong. You'll never hear the end of it.
Absolutely.
You'll never fucking hear the end of it. Nope. One thing wrong. It's remarkable.
I know exactly what you're talking about because in the field that I'm in now, same thing.
Oh, I'm sure. But that's, look though, I mean, you're in the medical profession, you know, and that's another, look, hey, my hat's off to nurses, doctors, nurse practitioners, medical personnel, EMT drivers, ambulance drivers. My hat's off to those people. Because that's another thankless job where people throw up on you and spit on you and piss on you and shit on you. Sometimes literally.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And that's a horrible, thankless job. But they do it because they care about people. My sister-in-law is a nurse. Her husband is an EMT and firefighter. Okay? My niece works for a major hospital, a major cancer center here in New Jersey, MD Anderson. And it doesn't matter what you do, somebody's going to say some shit.
Oh, yeah.
So somebody's going to say something, you know? So, look, hey, we salute you here at What's the Buzz.
Yes.
We really do. We salute you big time because it's just one of those jobs where, you know what? Somebody's got to do it, and God bless you that you were called to do it. She says, I like it better than retail. You know what?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen, Moonchild. And that's what we were just talking about. That there are, you ask my wife, what's the one thing Angelo hates? Retail.
Yes.
Hate retail. I worked in the hospitality industry. I was raised in the hospitality industry. My father owned restaurants, and my grandfather was a bartender and a waiter and ran steakhouses, and the whole family was in the restaurant and hospitality business. Again, a thankless, horrible job that you put up with so much shit from the public. I remember one time, God bless you, Papa. I miss you so much. My father told me, I'm laughing because he told me a story what he did one time. He said there was a guy years ago that used to come into his place. And the guy could never. Now, think about what I'm saying, Amelia.
Yes.
He could never get a cup of coffee that was hot enough.
What?
He complained about it. Every time. I don't care if it was an hour old, 5 minutes old, or just came out of the pot.
Oh, my God.
For this man, it was never hot enough. My father, God bless him, took the guy's cup. Okay? He took it back to the kitchen. He stuck it underneath a broiler. Okay? You know what an open flame broiler looks like?
Yes.
Okay. He put the cup in the broiler for 5 minutes, That cup was a white cup that turned red from the heat.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay? He took it out with a pair of tongs, right?
Uh-huh.
Brought it out to the guy on a platter because he couldn't hold the cup. It was so hot, right? This guy, can't make it up, picked up the cup like it was nothing, brought it to his lips, and it was so hot, this cup, it stuck to the man's
Oh, gosh.
Okay? Uh-huh. But here's the point. He picked it up by the handle and never flinched.
Oh, my gosh.
So the problem wasn't with his lips. It was with his hands. He couldn't feel anything.
Hmm.
Isn't that some shit?
Wow. So something was wrong with him automatically because he couldn't feel the heat. Those conditions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when you put a cup underneath a broiler, an open flame broiler,
mm-hmm.
that's fire. That's direct fire on your cup. That's heat, that's... man. Brutal.
That's horrible. Just like recently, I had a lady get mad because if you make an appointment for, if you have blood work and we don't have it in your chart, then the doctor or the nurse practitioner will not see you unless the blood work is in your chart. And so I called where she had her blood work. Mm-hmm. They didn't have it ready because it was still pending. So I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, but the nurse practitioner cannot see you because the blood work's still pending. I'll be happy to reschedule your appointment. Well, she says, well, I don't have time for that. It's going to be a couple weeks. And I said, I understand that. I apologize. Let me see if the doctor has an appointment for you. No, I don't have time. I need to know I need to see the doctor or the nurse today. I need my medication, ma'am. Again, I apologize.
Sure.
Three times. Well, I'm going to take my medication. If you don't make my appointment, I'm going to take it anyway. And it's going to be your fault if I die. I'm going to sue you and this place. I'm like, ma'am, I apologize. We don't have your blood work. Well, I can get it. It's already ready. Ma'am, they told me.
Well, here's the bottom line. I get where you're going with this. Mm-hmm. Here's the bottom line. Is you can't give her what you don't have.
Exactly.
You know? You see how simply I said it? It took you a half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 5 seconds.
Well, she was arguing with me that she was going to sue me, and she was getting upset. She was crying over nothing. You.
You're not responsible for her blood work.
Absolutely.
Bottom line, look, here's the thing. It's real simple. It's real simple. You can't give a patient what they don't have. First of all, you are only a medical assistant. You are not a doctor, mm-hmm. you're not even a nurse, okay? And you're certainly not a blood lab certified phlebotomist.
Absolutely.
Right. You do paperwork.
Absolutely.
That's what you do. Tell the lady, hey, lady, if she calls you back again and say, Mad Dog said two things. Number one, go fuck yourself. Number two, be nice to me, because if you don't, he's going to tell you. Number three, go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's it. Now, let me get back here to Moonchild, because Moonchild's got real problems. A big retail store fired me when I became disabled and acquired an assistive device. First of all, Moonchild, that's against the law. They cannot fire you for becoming disabled.
No, they cannot.
You're covered under the Americans with Disabilities Act. And it's, you know what? You even if you don't work there anymore, you can still sue them for firing you. Absolutely, you can. As long as you can prove that they fired you because you became disabled. That's the key. Mm-hmm. That's the key. So let's talk, Millie, about what you've been up to, and have you been keeping up with our shows? Or do I have to, like, take the 2x4 and crack you over the head with it?
No, I've been watching your show with Sean Bailey last night, which was really great.
Last night was Sean?
Mm-hmm.
Sean Bailey was here last night, folks. You remember him from Smokey and the Bandit crew that we had here? He is an incredible Jackie Gleason look-alike and sound-alike. He's remarkable. I love, love, love Sean Bailey. I love having him on the show. This man's got a history.
Yes.
And he and I know the same people. We were talking about it last night before we went on the air. We know the same people. Because you, in this business, you get around. Mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, like, sometimes you get around for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. But Sean and I got around for the right reason.
Yeah,
people like us.
I hope they do bring the show to Florida, because that they, I did hear that they wanted to bring it to South Florida. So hopefully it'll be around my area, you know, for that. And then the Honeymooners are wanting to bring that around. And you said something about the show, the Honeymooners, the actual set was in your area for real?
The set of the Honeymooners is in New Jersey.
Really?
It was as of 3 years ago. Ooh. It was a collector bought it here in northern New Jersey, closer to New York, but still in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. A collector bought the whole set, including the table, the chairs, the sink, the Ralph Cramden's refrigerator, mm-hmm. the stove, all that, right?
Wow.
He bought everything. He had the whole thing shipped piece by piece.
Ooh.
By truck from California to New Jersey.
Wow, just imagine all that.
Yeah.
Just imagine that right there. Yeah.
Oh, it was, you know, it's funny because I actually saw it. I saw the original, and people don't know this, but the walls of, if you watch The Honeymooners, it's black and white, right?
Right, right.
But the walls were yellow and brown.
Wow.
The bottom of the wall was brown, and the top of the wall was yellow.
Hmm.
And all the furniture was brown, and the refrigerator, the stove, the sink, they were all kind of like silver, black, gray, you know, like nondescript colors.
Right.
But the real color was on the back, on the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, it was fascinating to look at that stuff too. It's remarkable. Captain Miserable, there he is, to the moon, Alice. Absolutely, baby, to the moon. That's what I said to Amelia before we went on. I went, to the moon, to the moon, Pitbull. Anyway,
and he wanted to shoot me to the moon.
Sean Bailey would be proud of me.
Yeah, he wanted to shoot me to the moon if I started coughing on the show.
No, I'll just mute your ass. That's all for the rest of the show. Yes, mute you. I love that name, by the way, Captain Miserable. He's been here before.
Yeah.
Captain Miserable's been here for. I like Captain Miserable. You know why? Because Captain Miserable is like us. He don't give a shit. And that's what I love about Captain Miserable. He just don't give a flying fuck. He's my kind of guy. I'm saying guy, you know, Captain Miserable could be a woman somewhere, but I'm thinking it's a guy. Anyway, let's do something. We got to pay tribute to a couple people.
Yes.
Happy birthday to Jerry Lewis.
Happy return.
That was Jerry Lewis. He would have been 98 years old today.
Wow.
And on his retirement last night in New Jersey, Tony Orlando began his career in New Jersey, and Tony Orlando ended his career in New Jersey last night at Resorts International Casino in Atlantic City. And we say happy retirement to Tony Orlando.
Retirement to you. Happy retirement to you. Happy retirement. Happy retirement. Happy retirement to you.
65 years. Can you imagine that? 65 years entertaining people on a stage. Do you really? You looked at that picture, okay? Mm-hmm. Let me show that picture again. Hold on a minute. Let me bring this up here. Hold on. Give me just a second, folks. I want to bring this up. Look at that. Does he look like a guy that's hitting 80 years old?
No. Mm-mm.
Tony Orlando's almost 80. Okay? Look at that man. He, the secret to staying young, keep working.
Absolutely, yes.
But you know what? He's retiring. First of all, he don't need the money. He's already a gazillionaire like five times over. He don't need the money. You do that job because you love it. It's like what we've been, it's kind of like, think about this, Melia. You kind of, whether you know it or not, you kind of set the tone for tonight.
Yes.
Because I think the thing is, people who enjoy their job never get tired of it.
No.
And they really don't. And I think that it takes a special kind of person to be able to entertain people.
Yes.
Like we do. Oh, well, like I do. You just sit here and look adorable, according to Captain Miserable.
Well, somebody has to.
Right? Amelia is adorable. Now, first of all, Captain, I have to tell you something. You got some competition there. Because there's a couple guys in the chat. Especially Amelia's got some boyfriends in the chat room here. You're up against Captain Miserable. You're up against Robert E. Lee, the guy. I don't think it's his real name, though. Robert E.
Lee. Robert E. Lee?
And the other one, who was the other guy that wanted to ask you if you would like wanted to go on a date or some shit like that?
I don't
know. By the way, Amelia's got a husband, and he's a big guy. He's like 6'5". And she's got a son that's another big boy that, you know, he'll do the dirty work that his father can't. She rents out her son for, like, you know, hit work. Nah, Joseph's a good kid, apparently. I never met him. I talked to him one time on the phone, when Jeff first got sick. I talked to Joseph one time when Jeff first got sick.
Oh, look at that. You made it.
Captain goes, oh, you ruined it. Brother, listen, I didn't ruin shit. I'm going to tell you why I didn't ruin shit. Because you're getting Amelia free of charge here. If you date her or marry this woman, it's going to cost you through the ass, okay? She's got expensive taste. Ask her husband. You know? She wants you to buy her diamond rings, and she wants you to buy her
doesn't like diamonds.
Filet mignon steak, and you know, and you got to take her son everywhere you go with her because she don't drive, and he has to drive.
He can stay home.
I'm busting your chop so bad, you know what? But you had it coming.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Lying to people about me.
High and dry over here, fending for myself. It was I'll tell you what, though.
Yeah.
They were some of the quietest.
Yeah.
They were, shut up. They were some of the quietest shows we've ever had. No yelling. I didn't have to yell at you. I didn't have to mute your microphone.
Hey, I like Budweiser. Hey, that's good enough for me.
Oh my God, this woman, please. You guys see what I put up with? Yep, that's her. She's got champagne dreams.
Hey, I can drink Budweiser just as good as the next girl.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You better have a case of Budweiser, but your brother.
Why not? I'll buy
unless
a case.
We're talking one can or one bottle.
Nope. I can drink anybody under the
table. I know you can drink, please. I heard about the wedding, please. It's all over Facebook. Anyway, your daughter's tattling on you. Anyway, so let's talk about the shows that you miss. You've been watching them, I hope, right?
Yes.
So what was your favorite show of the ones we've done?
Well, it's also listening to the Dan Ely show, how he loved to reminisce about him, you know, his guitar. I know that he wanted to talk about his story again, but you kind of cut him off a little bit because he would have gone on and on and on about his story.
Well, his guitar. You know, can I tell you why I did that? And I told Dan, we talked about it. I wanted him to talk about our friend Denny Lane.
Yes.
Okay. And I didn't want and maybe I'm selfish about it, but we've done. See, here's the thing, folks. Denny Lane was part of, he was the founder of the Moody Blues. Yes. Okay. And because he was the founder of the Moody Blues in the early days of the 60s, they worked with the Beatles, they worked with the Rolling Stones, but they were the Moody Blues and the Beatles were like this. They were like together all the time. And Paul McCartney and Denny Lane were very good friends from day one.
Yes.
Right? Here they are. You know, Paul is 80-something years old, like 82 years old. And Denny was 80 when he passed away.
Yeah.
Right?
It was bad.
Mm-hmm. And, but he was, he, I'll tell you what, he fought the good fight. Denny Lane was sick for a long time, and he just couldn't get better. They think it might have been kind of like COVID related, kind of.
I believe so, because it's going around again. It really is.
Well, yeah, and they kind of think that it might have been, you know, COVID that had set into his lungs, and he just, and the try as they may, they couldn't get it. They couldn't get rid of it. They couldn't get him better. And he just basically, you know, went to sleep and never woke up, basically what happened. You know, and look, at least he, you got to say this, you know, would it be selfish to still want him around? Yeah. God needed him more. Absolutely. Here's the thing though. And it's important to remember, this guy lived a very, very full life. I mean, this guy lived a life that we just dream about. Traveling the world, playing music and getting paid for it. Okay? I know Amelia's dreams of traveling the world and being the TikTok queen. That's what she's, you know. She's all about that. And by the way, Captain Miserable, good Lord, the more she says, the more I fall in love.
Aww.
You know? Hold on a second. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here.
Oh, you're going to marry us now? How sweet.
Telling you what. This is what I deal with, okay? This is what I deal with. Captain Miserable. You gotta feel for me, baby. You gotta feel for me, Captain Miserable. You listen to me.
You know you missed me when I was gone.
Missed you.
Yeah.
It was quiet for the first time in 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you weren't here and going trying to cut me off all the time. I'm the only one that's allowed to cut people off. Damn it.
No, you're not. I'm allowed to.
Well, maybe you earned a little bit of right to do
that. A little bit, yeah.
So what else did you do while you were out sick?
Just stayed home. Well, the time that I was home, I just stayed home in bed, laid to sleep. And I was not on TikTok as much as I normally was. But
right. Well, let me ask you then. We're talking about the shows. You watched the Dan Ely show. Did you watch Angelo Capone?
Yes, and the territory system that you did on the wrestling show. And I learned a lot of the territories that it was just amazing how many. I didn't know that there was a lot of territories that the wrestling had.
Yeah, I got news for you, Amelia. Your state of Texas, your home state of Texas, had Texas alone had 8 full-time wrestling territories.
Yeah,
eight.
It's just like its own country.
Basically. Yeah, it was its own country. They wanted to be their own country, trust me. They still want to be their own country. But yeah, Texas was a big, big wrestling state. It still is.
And what I like is the wrestling school is here in Florida, too, that not a lot of people know about, that there's a wrestling school here.
Wrestling was huge in Florida thanks to people like Dusty Rhodes,
yes.
Mike and Eddie Graham, the Fuller family from Tennessee. Ran shows from Tennessee to Florida. That's all they did. They went from Tennessee to Florida back and forth every month. Can you imagine doing that? Driving back and forth from Tennessee to Florida every month?
Yeah, it's.
I mean, thankfully, it's not. It's not a long drive. It's a few hours.
It's a few hours. Yes.
It's a few hours. It's about 4 or 5 hours, maybe.
But not like from one.
It's not a bad drive.
But not like from one end of Texas to the other. That's like the whole.
Oh no, that you're talking about a couple of days there if you're driving. Absolutely.
And sure. How I don't. These wrestlers that are starting now, I mean, I give you credit and I bow down to you because when you're going from a 16 to 16 ring to an 18 to 18 to a 20 to 20, and then when you get to the WWE from 24 to 24, that's a big jump from when the top rope to where you're getting in the middle because you've got to really practice.
Well, the difference in ring size can make or break a person or their career.
It can.
I know people. I worked with people mm-hmm. who couldn't even deal with the 20 by 20 ring. Yeah. And that's a standard size.
Yeah, because you learn.
16 by 16 is what's called a practice ring.
Yeah, that's where they train them here in Florida. They learned on the 16 by 16.
And where is that?
In Florida.
No, but where in Florida?
In Tampa.
What kind of school?
It's the training school, but I just can't remember what's the name of it because I know Chavo Guerrero was in charge of it first, and I think Vicky Guerrero also was helping at one time. And I know that they started at a 16 by 16, mm-hmm. and then when you go, you're in the indies, you're starting a 20 to 20. But when you're in the
that's because the 20 by 20 is the official size. Mm-hmm. In other words, here's how it works, folks, if you're a wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. If you work as a professional wrestler, mm-hmm. getting paid for it, okay, you are required by the state. Your ring must be 20 by 20.
Has to be 20 by 20, exactly.
If it's smaller than 20 by 20, you either need special permission or you have to feature little people.
Yes.
Which means it was the old word for midgets, which is now little people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But guess what? The midgets like to be called midgets.
Yeah, they do.
I'm going to do a show on it one night.
It's a wrestling thing that they love to be called midgets because that's what gets the money in for them.
Exactly. That's where the money is.
Yes.
I want to address this for Moonchild because you're talking about something I know a lot about. Mm-hmm. Okay. Amelia, can you? Okay, thank you. She says, I would love to see you do a show on Bob Crane with the authors of his definitive biography. Well, I'll tell you what, Moonchild, I can do that show with or without the authors of that biography. I know an awful lot about Bob Crane as a person, as an actor, as a amateur porn filmmaker, and his relationship with John Carpenter. Not the film director, John Carpenter, the pervert, John Carpenter, the guy who killed him.
Oh, my gosh.
Who killed him. His name is John Carpenter. That's the guy who killed Bob Crane. John Carpenter literally got away with murder and on his deathbed admitted what he did.
That's horrible.
Folks, you can't make this shit up. You can't, okay? You just cannot, because as I always tell people, truth is much more bizarre than John Henry Carpenter. Truth is much more bizarre than fiction will ever be. So what other shows did you like a lot?
Well, of course, the one that you did as well with of course, we talked already about Sean Bailey because I know that I wasn't gone quite a bit, but the one that we have coming up actually tomorrow is going to be a really, really good one with Rick.
Forget tomorrow night. I want to know what you watched.
Oh, okay.
Not what you're...
What I watched? Well, we were supposed to... Well, of course...
Boring you fibbing to me, Pitbull.
Well, I only was gone for a few more shows, but the Territory System, that one was one of my favorites, though, really. We talked about that one. One was really, really good because I learned a lot because as we were talking about the wrestling and then the one.
Here's what she's saying, folks. Here's what Amelia's trying to tell you, because it takes her a half an hour to say three things. So it takes me 5 seconds. What she's trying to tell you is Mad Dog, I pay attention to subjects I like. And if I don't like them, I ignore everything and I just go with the flow.
I've been watching every show that you did, I promise.
You're such a bad liar.
I did watch all the shows. And I did. I did.
Ah, shit. You are so funny. All right. Let me talk to you here. I have to do a little bit of a break, folks, because we have a sponsor we need to take care of. And I, of course, I love my sponsor.
Yes.
And they've been with me a long time. And my friend Mike Messier, who was on the show with me last night, actually got me this sponsor 5 years ago. Watch this.
Do you have sweaty balls or volleyball netty balls? It's time to make them ready balls. The Manscaped.com Lawnmower 3.0 will do the job and clean your knob with its patented no-nick head, so your head will function as desired. Enter promo code WrestlingFuture for a generous 20% discount. That's enter WrestlingFuture for a 20% discount. Manscaped.com and Wrestling with the Future, going balls to the walls with Manscaped.com. And the Lawnmower 3.0, your balls will thank you. And so will we.
What's the buzz? America's Best Podcast returns tonight. The Pitbull returns. Amelia's back. She's back, folks. Amelia the Pitbull Chapman. She is my producer at large, my pain in the ass in general. And general ball breaker at will. That kind of defines you, isn't it? Your job description here at WWTF Radio. Kind of, yeah, she really is. She's like ball breaker at large. She is, you know, every person's nightmare except for Captain Miserable, who is like, you know, dreamy creamy right now trying to
you better not have scared him off either.
Honey, I think it's cute. I really do. I think it's cute.
No, but also Lou Ferrante, that was a good show that you brought.
Lou's coming back.
Yeah.
I love Lou. I have a special guest coming on, thanks to Lou Ferrante. Mm-hmm. This woman, she was part of mob royalty. Her father was remarkable. I'm not going to tell you who he is yet. You'll find out tomorrow night. So you got to stay in suspense for another day. We are WWTF Radio 88.7 on the broadband radio system. This is What's the Buzz, America's Best Podcast. You can find everything you need about us, everything at all, on linktree.com. Go to www.linktree.com/WWTF radio. And you can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/@whatsthebuzzpodcast. Now, we have three YouTube channels. You can go on to that first YouTube channel, What's the Buzz Podcast. The link to the other two channels are there. You can join them. You can be a member. You can watch private stuff that's not available to the public. We have something for everybody. And we really do. Honestly, we have like 13 private videos right now that the public has never seen. So if you want to take a look at them, it's $2.99 a month. See that little scroll at the bottom of your screen there, folks? Watch that little scroll. Because it's going to save you some money.
Yes.
$2.99. Well, you can't buy a loaf of bread for $2.99.
No.
Okay? It costs you $3.49 for a loaf of bread.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
But I'm cheap. It only costs you $2.99 for the Mad Dog. Why are you laughing at me for? She's always laughing at me. Anyway, the Pitbull is back. Amelia the Pitbull Chapman. So,
Didn't you also say that we also got some new radio stations as well?
Yeah. We got a brand new station in Dublin, Ireland, mm-hmm. and a brand new station in Germany called Wienersbaden in Germany. You know how long it took me to pronounce that name, Wienersbaden?
No.
I can't pronounce it. My German sucks. I'm not living in German. I barely speak English, folks. Come on. Be honest about it. Okay. Oh, here she goes. This commercial. You know what, Moonchild? I wrote that commercial. I recorded that commercial. I performed it. And I am a product spokesman. I use that shit. I do. Absolutely, I do.
Which oh, my gosh.
Captain wouldn't be miserable if he was. Amelia.
What?
Do your magic, kid, and tell Captain Miserable to buy a Manscaped razor. I would love to see him do that. Wouldn't that be remarkable?
That some of our people that watch us would buy that, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I'll tell you what, though. We really do have an amazing audience. We have a very loyal audience, a very loyal following. You guys have taken us from, check this out, Amelia, tell me if I'm lying.
No.
You guys have taken us from 356 subscribers on YouTube to almost 800 subscribers.
The truth.
In a 3-week period.
Yes.
I'm not even joking about that. I'm not even kidding. Okay? And we're talking about real subscribers, not that shit you pay for.
No.
Because you know that you can buy subscribers. Like, why would you want to do that and cheat yourself? That means that there are almost 800 people on YouTube alone, on just on the one channel that we have. On YouTube, and we got three channels, guys. We got three channels, okay? And I'm going to tell you about them in a minute. But YouTube alone, we have 800 real people who took the time to subscribe to us, who took the time to watch our videos and listen to our radio station and took the time to join in our conversation. We had a show one night on Chris Benoit.
Yes.
We had 500 people in the chat room. You hear what I'm saying to you? We had 500 people in the chat room. That's nuts, okay?
Remember the show that we did? You know what it was like
juggling that show around?
Remember the show that we did with Princess Diana?
Yes. One night. Tell everybody. I'm not going to. You tell them.
5,000.
In one night.
One night.
5,000 views in one night. The first night it aired, 5,000 views on YouTube. Go. You think I'm kidding? Yeah. Go look. You know how many views there are? There's like 30,000 views on that video now.
Yeah. That's a lot.
5,000 of them were from one night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and remarkable. Thanks to you guys, we have What's the Buzz, and on the record, it's going to be our second anniversary, April 1st, and it's not a fool, it's a fool's joke, it's the truth.
Yeah.
April 1st is when we opened up the channel.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And guess who's going to be here April 1st? The manager to the stars, Rick Sapphire. He was Jerry Lewis's personal manager.
The who's who of managers.
The who's who, the real who's who of managers.
Yeah.
Not like that guy we know in Des Moines, Iowa. No, I love Stephen Plim. Stephen Plim handled eclectic talent. And here's what I mean by that. Steve Plim handled talent that nobody else could handle.
No.
Because they didn't know how to handle them.
Right.
Steve Plim handled Tiny Tim, Jerry Mathers, Joe Frazier, Jake LaMotta. People like, now you guys don't know who the hell I'm talking about because they're all gone now, right? But these were like mostly sports figures, except for Tiny Tim.
Well, and Mathers, he was on Leave It to Beaver if they watched the reruns. Oh, yeah,
but he wasn't his full-time manager.
No.
Stephen only managed Jerry Mathers as a promotional manager. Mm-hmm. Rick Sapphire, the guy that's coming on April 1st, was Jerry Mathers' actual manager. Hmm. Among the people, I'll just show you, like, give you
a who's who list.
Just a little kind of who's who here of what we're talking about. If I could pull it up for you, let me see if I can pull it for you. Hold on. Let me see it here. Here you go. I got Rick Sapphire right here. You go. Here's Rick. Here's some of the people. Amelia, listen to these names. Mickey Rooney, John Mills, Margot Kidder, Rip Taylor, Chris Noel, Terry Moore, Jerry Mathers, Betsy Palmer, Anna Maria Alberghetti, Haley Mills, Juliet Mills, Gary Lewis and the Playboys, Anson Williams from Happy Days, Molly B, Katica Ayani, Mally Lewis and Lamb Chop, the original Mouseketeers, SpongeBob SquarePants, all right? The Little Rascal, Spanky McFarlane, Darla Hood, Beverly Washburn. Let's see, Chubby Checker, Charlie Callis, Soupy Sales, and more. That's just
a small list of.
That's a partial list.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a guy that's been a manager since the 19. Listen to what I'm saying. Since the 1950s. The early 1950s. Okay. He's a guy that's almost 80 now. You know? Hey, look who's here. Dean Willie's here.
Hello.
Hey, Dean, how are you? Nice to have Dean back. Dean's been here before. Hmm. Nice to have you back here. I like when people come back. Tiny Tim is the is interred in. Yes, he did. Tiny Tim passed away in Minnesota. And that's where he is interred. I don't believe, and Moonchild, you can tell me if this is the case. I don't believe he's buried. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he may be in a mausoleum, if that's correct.
I believe, yeah, a lot of famous people have been.
Oh, that's Daryl. Okay, I know who it is. Daryl Dean Willie. I know who this man is. And again, he's been here before. Good. Good stuff. I know who you are. In a crypt. Yeah, in a crypt. That's it. Yep. That's what I think. I think I was right about that. I think I remember that because I believe Stephen Plym told me about that. Steve Plym was Tiny's manager for probably 5 or 6 years, but he was his friend for 25 years.
Wow.
So what better person to manage him, you know? Man, this has been a fast show tonight.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it's almost 10 of 8.
Yeah.
Amelia, why don't you tell everybody what we got coming up and take your time and let it sink in, folks.
Well, tomorrow, as we were talking about earlier, we're going to be talking about Ric Flair.
Why?
Because it's Wrestling with the Future show. We're going to be either talking about if he's the greatest of all time, or, as you had said earlier, what would it? Go ahead and tell him.
Is he the goat or the bloat? Is he the goat, the greatest of all time, or the boat, the bloat, the biggest loser of all time?
Yeah, your favorite word.
By the way, folks, don't try using it. I already have the copy on it. I own bloat. Yes, I do. I own B.L.O.A.T. I own that.
Yep. So don't try using
that. I'm not even shitting, for real. Go ahead.
And then, of course, you're going to be talking with Lou Ferrante again. I guess you said you might have a special guest on that night.
We're going to talk about the Kennedy assassination.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's a bad day to have a birthday on my end, right? But the Kennedy assassination and how it had a mob connection with that as well.
Yeah. Oh, God, a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, see, Dean Daryl Willie, Daryl Dean Willie. You know, Daryl Willie was the name that was up there before, but Dean, we know who you are. Why am I?
Well, he's got his photo up this time.
Yeah, he's got his picture up this time. Mm-hmm. Very handsome young fella. Yeah. Let me introduce you to Amelia. She might be single soon when she kills her husband. No, I'm kidding. Nah, I'm kidding. Jeff's a great guy. I like Jeff. He's a good guy. What else you got coming up?
And we have the return of Ronnie Marmo coming up.
Oh, Ronnie's coming back. What are we going to talk about with Ronnie? What do you want? What do you feel like talking about?
Well, what he's been up to, actually.
Well, he's been up to making TV shows and making movies and doing the Lenny Bruce show. And
my aunt wants to ask him about, my aunt wanted to know why they killed him off the show of General Hospital, because she's one of his fans from the show.
I have a show coming up. It's going to be one of my favorite. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell everybody. We're doing a special wrestling show. I want everybody to mark this down, because I want your input, okay? It's really important to me, folks. I want your input. On March the 27th, Wednesday night, we're doing the WWE Hall of Fame wish list.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I made a list here of some known and some unknown people who I think deserve to go in the Hall of Fame. Here's what I want you to do. Hold on a minute, Mel. Mm-hmm. Hold on. See, this is why it was quiet, because there was nobody to interrupt me. That's just all the time to me. You little stinker. All right, so here's the thing. I want you guys out there to tell me, who would you nominate for WWE Hall of Fame? Who do you want to see? Who's on your WWE HOF wish list? Is it Haystacks Calhoun? Is it Dominic DiNucci? Is it Buddy Landell? Who is it? Is it, maybe it's somebody we don't even know. Maybe it's somebody we don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's somebody everybody knows that's not in there yet.
Or someone that should, that is on there that you think that should not have even been on there.
No, that's not what we're doing.
No? Okay.
That's not what we're doing. No, it's the Hall of Fame wish list. Who do you think should be on in the Hall of Fame? Not who should be taken out. Look, here's the way I look at it. Here's the way I look at it, and I'm very serious here.
Okay.
If you're in the WWE Hall of Fame, you're there for a reason.
Yeah.
We may not agree with the reason, but they're there for a reason. Because in some form or fashion, they contributed to the betterment of wrestling in some way.
Yeah.
I get that. I totally get that. On the other hand, there are people that are not in the Hall of Fame who should be.
Yes, they should.
I'll give you an example. China's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. That's part of DX. But she's not in the Hall of Fame on her own.
Right.
Okay? Now, I have a problem with that.
Me too.
They said that China was not in the Hall of Fame because she did porn. Guess what? So did X-Pac. So did half the roster. So did Sonny. Okay? But she's in the Hall of Fame. Not once, but twice.
And look what Sonny just got put in jail for.
Yeah. Yeah. Vehicular homicide.
Yeah.
She's going to go to jail for probably a very long time.
She got sentenced to 20 years.
20 years for vehicular homicide in Florida.
Yeah.
In Florida. Because no lawyer in New Jersey would touch her.
Close to where I live. 20 freaking years. That's it.
Yep. 20 years. But well, guess what? She's going to rot in jail.
Hate you to should say it. You should see the way she looks now. It's horrible. She's not little.
Awful. Awful, awful. Oh, my God, please.
Yeah.
So let's bring this up here. Oh, look at that. Here we go. Say, Angelo, can you move back a little, like to Cleveland? Anyway, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. We're going to tell everyone tomorrow night, Ric Flair, the goat or the bloat? Is he the greatest of all time or the biggest loser of all time? I have some definite serious opinions on that. And please make note, March the 27th, Wednesday night, March 27th, WWE Hall of Fame wish list. Who deserves to go in? Who do you want to see in? Not who's coming out, who's going in. All right? I'll tell you another one I think deserves to go in. Chris Benoit. There, I said it. And guess what? Wow. It can happen. It can happen. You know why? Because Vince McMahon no longer owns the company, and he has nothing to do with wrestling. And he's no longer a major stockholder. He took his money. He sold his shares. He walked away. Because he's a piece of shit that likes to literally piss and shit on people. That's the kind of scumbag you're talking about there, folks.
Yep.
All right. So, on behalf of Amelia the Pitbull Chapman, on behalf of my wonderful audience, Captain Miserable, Dean Willie.
You mean our wonderful audience.
And everybody else out there, all several million of you around the world, and thank you for that. We appreciate it. I am Angelo, the Mad Dog. DeCipio, saying goodnight, everybody. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Good to be back.
Good Lord and the creek don't rise. You know what?
She
this may be her first and last appearance on the show, folks. Good night, everybody.